13 years later, and yet Afghanistan is an unstable, unsafe, and politically unstable country, even though billions of dollars of Western taxpayers' money has been wasted in trying to bring the country in line with Western interests. With a mission to, after 9/11, rid the country of the Taliban, now a distant dream, an announcement of additional U.S. troops needed has added fuel to the fire of the debate on the true intentions of the U.S. in Afghanistan. I'm Muqar Rizvi, and this is The Debate.
It's been the longest war of modern times, and there are no signs Afghanistan's occupation is going to end anytime soon. The U.S. says it plans to keep an additional 1,000 troops in Afghanistan next year, when it will withdraw its forces from the war-torn country. Speaking at a press conference with Afghan President Ashraf Ghani Ahmadzai, Pentagon Chief Chuck Hagel said the decision is meant to meet a temporary shortfall in NATO forces.
The decision that the president made to keep an additional 1,000 troops here to help fill the Resolute Support mission gap until they catch up, based on what I said in my statement.
U.S. President Barack Obama approved the remaining 1,000 additional troops in Afghanistan, despite an earlier plan to limit the U.S. forces there to a maximum of 9,800 troops in 2015. Earlier, U.S. officials said Obama has expanded the U.S. role in fighting the Taliban militants in Afghanistan. Washington and Kabul have agreed on a deal which would allow the U.S. to keep its troops in Afghanistan beyond next year. Over 13 years into the U.S.-led occupation of Afghanistan, many in Afghanistan believe that they are not better off. A new opinion poll has found that more Afghans than any other time since 2004 feel their country is moving in the wrong direction. Insecurity, corruption, unemployment and a bad economy top the list of Afghans' concerns. Many in the West have long had a negative view of the invasion of Afghanistan, calling it an unwinnable war. The war has killed thousands of U.S.-led foreign troops and left tens of thousands of Afghans dead and the country in ruins.
The Afghans should want us out. We've done nothing but plunder their country and kill their people, and I can't imagine why the Afghans would want us there. But as far as American casualties, the reason you don't see more anti-Afghanistan war protests is because Americans are not seeing a lot of American fatalities, and that seems to be the only thing that really resonates with the American public is how many Americans are being killed. But the sad news is that we're responsible. This country is responsible for the killing of thousands of innocent people.
Let's now introduce our guest for this edition of The Debate. We're joined by Mr. Rick Rossoff, who is with the Stop NATO International Network, and he's joining us live from Chicago. And we're also joined by Mr. Frederick Peterson, who is a Congressional Defense Policy Advisor, and he's joining us live from Washington. Gentlemen, thanks very much for joining us for this program. Mr. Peterson, I'd like to start with you. With Chuck Hagel's announcement that these 1,000 additional U.S. troops will remain in Afghanistan, is essentially the United States saying that it's not really ready to leave the country, i.e. Afghanistan, ever?
Well, no, he's not saying that at all. And in fact, the whole statement was that these 1,000 troops beyond the original projection of withdrawal are only going to be staying for a few months, not for the entire year. And the force in Afghanistan is still on track to be cut in more than in half by the end of next calendar year. That is still on track. The reason for the several weeks and months delay in removing these additional 1,000 troops is that it is giving the NATO countries an opportunity to retrain, gear up, and chip in, man up their contribution to that effort, which is increasingly successful under its new national leadership in Afghanistan. Abdullah and the new government there, we have much more confidence in them as reflecting the true will of the people, not a corrupt semi-criminal regime that was also undependable as an ally when we were there, expending treasure and blood in order to preserve, protect, and defend their freedom and their independence to operate their own country in a civilized manner against the lawlessness and international terror of the Taliban enemy. That was a mutual enemy. We, as allies of the government of Afghanistan and the NATO allies, coming to their assistance, not to impose anything upon them, but to assist them in ensuring their own preservation of their borders and their freedom, are much more confident now. And the investment of an additional, of not an additional, but the non-withdrawal for a matter of weeks or a few months of this 1,000 troops is indicative of that continuing commitment to ensure the success of the new Afghan government and the Afghan people.
Okay, Mr. Peterson, let me get in here. I want to bring Mr. Razov in here, and I will, of course, get back to you, Mr. Peterson, as well.
Yes.
After that, Mr. Razov, I want to get your opinion on what you've just heard said there by Mr. Peterson. I have also read, I'm sure you've read it as well, that this the excuse here right now on the part of the U.S. is that the European allies need time to gather their troops and to deploy their troops to Afghanistan. That's why this temporary deployment of 1,000 U.S. troops will be put in place. But I'm just wondering, 13 years after this occupation begun in Afghanistan, I would imagine that the withdrawal would be a lot more organized.
You know, first of all, let's be clear about this. It's, you know, 13 years, in fact, 14 calendar years. And what the United States has done with its North Atlantic Treaty Organization allies in that 13-year period is to use Afghanistan and you know, the hapless citizens of the country, but to use the country as a battleground and a testing ground for integrating the militaries of over 50 nations serving under NATO command, under the International Security Assistance Force, to be redeployed back home to Europe for a military confrontation with Russia. NATO you know, officials and statements have routinely asserted just about that. And the fact that you've had combat roles assigned to troops from several countries bordering Russia, Norway, Finland, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, Georgia, Azerbaijan, in the case of Georgia, several thousand troops, being trained in a combat role under NATO, with NATO standards and NATO interoperability for wars much closer to home, that is on their borders with Russia, is, I think, the fact about Afghanistan that has not been stated. We know that as many as 152,000 troops, you know, the majority of them American, but from, as I mentioned, 50 other nations served under NATO in Afghanistan. This is a historically unparalleled expansion of a military bloc to a degree, you know, hitherto unimaginable. For example, at the NATO summit in Wales a few months ago, the attendees included not only members of the 28 full members of NATO, but 49 partner countries, that's 77 countries, you know, represented in a U.S.-dominated military bloc. Now, the crude reference to now-retired President Hamid Karzai by the other guest is in part because Karzai said recently, within the last 2 or 3 weeks, that the net effect, you know, the total effect of 13 years of war being waged by the United States and NATO in his country has resulted not in a diminution, but in a massive increase of armed extremism. Taliban is stronger, not weaker. We've also seen a 30-fold increase in opium cultivation. We've seen the destabilization of neighboring countries. We've seen the U.S. and NATO military intrude into countries like Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan. There's much more at stake here than simply the you know, pablum that we're hearing from Washington politicals about fighting Taliban. This is a geopolitical test for the United States and its NATO allies to further intrude into Eurasia. That's
okay,
why they're
I see Mr. Peterson wanted to get in here. So, Mr. Rozov, let's go to Mr. Peterson. Mr. Peterson, on that point of Hamid Karzai, doesn't it seem like Hamid Karzai has become a very convenient scapegoat? Because I remember very clearly that Hamid Karzai at one point in time was spoken of very highly by U.S. officials in the same way that you just spoke about Ashraf Ghani Ahmadzai and his government.
Well, yes. Hamid Karzai was the leader of a government that we were assisting. There was, I should say, high hopes, not quite approaching the degree that we should call confidence, that Karzai would come through for his own people and for peace in the region. And yet what we saw year after year was, what your other host alluded to, an increase in criminality, an increase in corruption, an increase in opium production by a government that was taking full advantage of the billions of dollars of treasure and blood that was being spent to ensure the success of his experiment, Karzai's corrupt experiment. Now we see a new government, and we have, we should say, hope approaching the level of greater confidence now